You're locked into the only podcast for Maine high school basketball. The biggest names, past and present. It's Big Time Hoops, the podcast, right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another very special episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. And we got Mackenzie Holmes. I'm guessing coming from your home. I'm guessing coming from Gorm right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But doing big things. Her freshman year of college probably didn't go the way she wanted it to. That's why she's back home right now. But probably wearing the Indiana sweatshirt right now. So, Mackenzie, thank you for coming on right now. And I'm gonna start the podcast the same way I've been starting every podcast. Just what's life in quarantine been like for you? Like, how are things going? Obviously, your school year ended early. Your basketball season ended early. But what's life like right now for you?
I mean, I think the biggest adjustment for me has been I was just on such a tight routine the past 6-7 months that, like, I went from doing so much of my days being full of stuff to do, and it's like it went from that and it's like halted in a heartbeat. So I think that's been the biggest adjustment, kind of like decompressing about everything that happened this season because it ended so suddenly. I mean, we're about to take the court for practice when we found out that we weren't going to be playing anymore. So I think it's just kind of adjusting. I mean, it's not ideal, but you got to do what you got to do. I mean, you have to still get better every day and do what you can around the house. And I'm grateful that I get to spend time with family because I'm very far away from home. But yeah, just trying to get better each day, win the day.
Absolutely. So I'm very curious as to like how the season ended. Obviously, your freshman year in general at Indiana, playing big time Division I hoops. So we got to get through some things first before we get to where you're currently at. So we're just going to go through and trace it back. So obviously, graduated from Gorm. Just curious, are you born and raised in Gorm? Are you a Gorm lifer?
Yeah. So I've grown up in Gorm, and then around the age, I want to say 8. My dad got remarried, and so he lives in Saco. So I live half the time in Saco, half the time in Gorm. But I would say, like, I've gone through Gorm school systems my whole life, so I would call that my home for sure.
Okay. And obviously, it turned out to be a great basketball player. But just curious, early on, like, what's your earliest basketball recollection? Like, when did you get into it? Did you grow up in a basketball household, or was it something that you just started doing as a kid as something to do?
I came into this world dribbling basketball. I mean, both my parents are coaches. They've coached at the AAU and the high school level. My dad coached at the college level. So I grew up around it, and I always went to my parents' tournaments or games or practices. And my brother always played, so I would go watch his games. And I think I grew up around basketball. And not only that, I grew to love it. I'm a huge competitor, so I think that attributed to it for sure. I played a couple other sports, but basketball is just something that I just kept going back to at the end of the day.
So just curious, I mean, obviously you came up in a basketball household growing up. Were you following the Gorm high school program? Were you the type of kid that was going to games as a youngster, just sitting on the sidelines, taking it all in, just, you know, looking forward to the day when you would be putting on the uniform and stuff like that? Or were you more so not distant from the program and just kind of, you know, playing youth basketball?
Sorry, it broke up a little bit at the end. I heard the first part.
Yeah. So just curious if you were like one of those youngsters who went to high school games as a kid and just was, you know, a diehard fan, couldn't wait to put on the uniform, or if you were just more so playing youth basketball and not really paying attention to maybe the people above ahead of you.
No, I was always at the what was called the Cumberland County Civic Center at the time. It's called the Crop Insurance Center now, but I was always at the games. I just watch the people cut down the nets, and I'm like, man, like, that would be so cool to do one day. Like, I've been in the gym watching games since as young as I can remember, and especially because both my parents coached, we would at AAU especially, so we'd go watch them play high school basketball too. So I think just having that, like, kind of fueled my desire to not only want to play at the college level, but to win at the high school level too, and to be able to cut down the nets.
Just curious if you had like any favorite players growing up. I know, like, a lot of us, especially like for me, like, coming from a small town, we kind of idolized the guys that came before us. And they kind of inspire us and want us to do those things once we get to high school. Just curious if there's any players that you watched growing up where you're like, okay, yeah, I want to be like that person when I get to high school.
Yeah, I mean, I guess from Maine, I would say Kristen Ross. My mom used to coach Kristen Ross, and I always like looked up to watching her play because she was the same position as me, and she played for Gorham, so I liked watching her play. Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I've seen so many players come through. But yeah, just honestly, I got to play, well, I was lucky enough to play 2 years with her, but Emily Esposito is another one of those girls that when I was younger, I definitely was like, I looked up to her because she was in the same AU program as me and the same town as me. So when I got the chance to play with her, it was like, it was really special for me.
For those that aren't familiar with Gorham High School basketball, what's the tradition? I mean, obviously, you guys won a couple state championships when you were there, played in the third. Just curious, what's the tradition of Gorham High School basketball?
I would say it's a winning tradition for sure. I mean, even if we don't make a state run in the year, we'll always make it to the Civic Center. We'll always like get a couple playoff games. I mean, which is something that I don't think a lot of high school teams get to say. And that's kind of the expectation at Gorham, I think, is obviously it was disappointing for me, especially because I've been to the state game all three years of high school, to go out first round of my senior year. But I had to just look back and I'd be like, hey, at least I'm there. I mean, there are some kids who never got the chance to play on the Civic Center court. So I think that that's definitely the expectation there for sure.
Okay. And obviously you turn out all right, obviously at Indiana now, but just curious, as a youngster, were you kind of like the awkward kid, maybe the player who wasn't very good and developed late, or were you just a monster from day one?
I mean, like, I just have stories of like when I was playing third and fourth grade basketball, like my dad was coaching and the coaches would be like, there's no way she's in third grade, because I was just like huge. But I always had like kind of like a raw like knack for scoring, I guess you could say. So I think that, but I was always big and I was never in great shape. And so I think around eighth grade is when things started to turn around for me and when I really started to get in great shape and keep developing my game. And so, yeah, I'd say I always had that raw talent, but I think around eighth grade is when I really started to develop as a player.
Just curious what middle school basketball was like growing up. You know, obviously it's a little bit different depending on where you grow up. Being in Southern Maine, you have so many other schools right next to you. Did you guys travel a lot in middle school? Like, were you playing against a lot of players that you wound up playing against in high school, or in Gorham, is it more so just all within the town and stuff like that, where you kind of just play amongst yourselves? Just curious how it is in Gorham.
Yeah, we had a travel league. So like we would go play schools like Scarborough and Westbrook and Bonnie Eagle, like all the basically Southern A and AA schools now we would be playing against, Wyndham, and a couple of North schools too. And then like Portland had the schools in there, like King and Lyman Moore and Mahoney. So it was just basically like we didn't travel more than like 20 minutes to play a game, though, that's for sure.
That's nice.
We were lucky.
Yeah, I take that. I think in middle school that was the closest game was 20 minutes for us if we traveled, but a little bit different up north. So coming into high school, coming in as a freshman, obviously it's a jump in terms of talent level, speed, physicality, and stuff like that. What was the biggest adjustment to you coming into high school basketball? And I should ask, I'm guessing that you did, but I'm guessing you made varsity as a freshman. Is that correct?
Okay. Yes.
What was the biggest adjustment that you noticed coming into in playing a tough, tough schedule right off the bat? What was the biggest adjustment for you as a freshman?
I mean, I was very fortunate to play AAU with like my high school teammates, like Emily Esposito and Danasia Fenny. They were both my teammates in AAU, and so I was able to kind of learn from them before I even got to high school, so I think that already put me at kind of an advantage. But I'd say the biggest adjustment would be, I would say just like, I guess the pace. I mean, that's an adjustment at any level you go to. playing multiple times a week, because in AAU you just play like on the weekends, or you play one day a week in middle school. So you played a lot of games, and I'd say yeah, those two things for sure.
You mentioned some of the other girls that were there at Gorham. Just curious, coming in as a freshman, who were some of the other upperclassmen as well? So obviously you came into a program that had some really good players already there. Who were some of the other players you came into your freshman year playing with?
So it was Emily Esposito, Kristen Curley. She plays at USM. Danasia Fenny. She played at Elkhorn State for a year, I think, which is a Division I school. And then Kaylee Lundeen, who doesn't play college basketball, but she definitely could have if she had the opportunity. And then Michelle Rowe is another one. She plays at USM too. Those were all upperclassmen that I was with. So I was coming into a very good team at the right time, that's for sure.
Yeah, so what's in the water at Gorham? I mean, just a ton of talent. Like, what's going on? Is it just a good little spell of talent, or is it just that just say – you know, just the type of culture you guys have, and just the feeder system where you got people coming in that are just ready to go?
Yeah, I think it's just the culture that we've built, like the competitiveness, and Coach Bertham does a great job running summer camps for younger kids. And I know when I did those camps, it made me want to like even more excited about playing high school basketball. So I think just those things, but It was a really special run that we had those 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year.
So coming in as a freshman, obviously it's a jump in competition, it's a jump in speed, it's a jump in physicality, and you guys play a really, really tough schedule, probably if not the toughest, one of the toughest schedules in the state. Just curious, what was like your oh shit moment your freshman year, where like maybe it was the player you went up against, you're like, wow, like this is what I have to go against. This is what high school basketball is all about. Or maybe an environment or a team you played against that kind of just stood out like, oh, like this is the real deal right here. This is my moment where things are getting real.
Yeah, okay. So freshman year, we played South Portland, and they had Maddie Hassan at the time, Lydia Henderson, a few more I can't think of, but Emily Esposito was hurt. And so she wasn't playing, and we were down I think 15 at halftime, maybe more, and that was like my oh shoot moment, like I was playing not very well, I was nervous as heck, and I think that was a moment where I was like, okay, it's time for me to, you know, grow up a little. So we ended up coming back and winning, I think, and I ended up having a way better second half, and I made some big baskets throughout the course of the game. So I think that was definitely a turning point for me, like growing mentally wise, just growing up and maturing and taking that adversity and, you know, coming out with a win.
Yeah, so obviously freshman year went good for you guys. So for those who don't know, what did you guys wind up doing your freshman year in high school?
Went undefeated and then won a state championship.
Were there any close games in there, or was it pretty much start to finish, just ran the table?
Other than that South Portland game, I don't think that we had, I think when we played Greeley, it was a close game too. But other than that, we won most games by double digits.
Just curious, you mentioned being a kid and going to the Cross and Center, Cross Insurance Arena down there in Portland. What was it like playing on that floor for the first time? I mean, obviously up here in Northern Maine, we play in Bangor. Mm-hmm. We play at the Cross Insurance Center. Mm-hmm. It's the arena, like, versus the center. What was it like for you having been a kid who went to all those games growing up and then actually having the chance to play on that floor?
It was a dream come true. Like, it was so, like, surreal for me because, I that's like what you do during February break. You go and you just sit and watch games all day at the Civic Center. So it was really a dream come true for me to be able to play on that court as much as I was able to.
Is it tough? I mean, I've only ever seen it on TV. I tried to go to one of the state games that you guys were in, but something came up. I think I had social plans and it got in the way. But on TV, it looks like it's dark. It looks like it's dark in there. Is it tough to play in there, or is it a great little basketball arena?
I loved it. Like, I love a stage like that. That's like, as a competitor, those are the moments you live for, like just playing on a big stage, bright lights, I guess it is hard when you first play on it. The depth perception is a little weird if you've never played on a basket like that, because it's just, it's not connected to anything. It's just like a movable hoop. But I mean, I loved it. Those are some of my favorite games that I've played in my high school career.
What was the celebration like when you guys got back to Gorham?
Was that
Gorham's first girls state championship?
No, I don't know what number it was, but it was our first one since 2000. So it was like, I want to say 15 years since the previous one. But, you know, we had the police escort and cars everywhere. It was really memorable for sure.
What was your favorite moment about the celebration? Was it the escort in, or was it maybe I don't even know. I mean, I don't know what comes along with the state championship.
By far, was cutting down a piece of that net. There was nothing like that moment.
Yeah, definitely. And then obviously you got to do it again. So coming back sophomore year, is it tougher to win the first one or to repeat? Which season was tougher?
I think repeating was tough because we had such a target on our back that year, because we were running on a winning streak and running on a reigning state champion. So it was definitely tougher. Like we barely squeezed out the Southern Maine final. It came down to the last seconds. So that was a tough one, but it was good. Like, it was just as sweet as the first. That's all I can say.
Who'd you guys wind up playing in the state championship your sophomore year?
Oxford Hills.
Okay. So, was the Southern Maine game tougher than the state game, or which of the two was tougher?
The Southern Maine game we played South Portland. That was, we only won by a few points, and Oxford Hills, we ended up winning by quite a bit, but we were down for a little bit. But we dug ourselves back into it and then ended up winning.
Just curious, what was Coach Lon's message the entire year? That's my guy right there. Just curious how we kept you guys motivated to repeat. I mean,
you'd never guess that we were an undefeated team by the way we practiced and the way he coached us. Like, he held us to a very high standard every game, and we were he always talked about striving for perfection. So that was kind of like the end goal, was to end up like, we ended up, I think, 42-0 or something like that between those 2 years. So he was just, every game is, we don't take anybody lightly. Every game is the same as the next. It doesn't matter who we're playing or anything like that. So,
all right. So first 2 years of high school went pretty much as perfect as could possibly be for you. Two undefeated seasons, two state championships. Coming into your junior year, and then at that point, it kind of becomes your team, right? So some of the upperclassmen, some of the folks that you'd mentioned from your first couple of years graduate. What's the biggest adjustment for you going from being an underclassman, having some great upperclassmen in front of you to things, you know, becoming basically centered on you? What was the biggest adjustment that you had to make going from that sophomore year to junior year?
Just, I think from a leadership standpoint, I had to mature, and I had to mature quickly. And so before, like, we always had Emily and those other girls behind her being like a vocal leader. And I wasn't always a vocal leader. I was kind of like a lead by like example type of person. That's always like who I've been. But since then I've learned to be a vocal leader and be patient, because I know things aren't going to be perfect and I'm not going to be the way they were before. But yeah, I think that my junior year was a great year for me, maturing as a captain and as a leader for my team.
So obviously back-to-back undefeated state championship seasons those first 2 years, that third year, that target grew even bigger. You guys play a tough schedule as is, but I'm guessing these games became even bigger just because of the target on your back. For those that aren't familiar with a class, AA, Southern Maine, or you guys, Southern Maine or Northern Maine?
Southern Maine.
What's the schedule like? I mean, who are some of the teams you're going up against night in, night out? What's that schedule like? And I'm guessing it's kind of like a gauntlet where there's no easy nights for you guys.
Right, yeah. So we play, like, South Portland is always a tough game. We play some North teams too. So we played South Portland. We played Portland. We played Oxford Hills, Greeley, Bonnie Eagle, Scarborough. So there's a lot of tough teams that we were playing against, for sure.
All right. And then also, I don't know when it became a tradition, but you guys also started taking a little preseason road trip, right, in which you guys traveled as far north as you guys could possibly go and played some games where Prescott, Caribou, yes. And Fort Kent, right?
Yep.
When did that start happening?
Yeah, so we started that my junior year. So Coach Bertham actually came to me and talked to me about it because I have – my dad's from Presque Isle and my stepmom's from Caribou. So I have family and I used to summer up there. We used to have a camp in kind of near Madawaska. So I used to spend a lot of time up there. And he brought the idea up to me and I was like, that sounds great. Like, it'll be a lot of fun. I get to play in my dad's old high school gym. So yeah, it was a blast. I love that trip for sure.
Yeah, and I found that hard to believe because I mean that was kind of a big deal. I mean, it got coverage on the local news up home. you know, you guys were playing, you know, Prescott, Caribou, which is some of the better teams up there, and then also my alma mater. You guys go to Fort Kent. Just surprised that you guys enjoyed it as much as you did. I mean, that's like what, like a four and a half hour bus trip. I mean, it's
five,
5 hour bus
on
trip
on a bus.
Yeah, so. Obviously, you guys played some games up there, but did you guys do anything else besides that just to kind of do while you were up there? I'm just curious.
What did we do? I know that my second year, we walked across the bridge into Canada. We did that. That was fun. other than that, I don't think we did much. I mean, we just entertained ourselves, like, in the hotel. We went for walks around. We saw Coach Bertham's old house and all that good stuff.
Next time you talk to Coach Lon, ask him if he made how many walks he took across that bridge when he was growing up. Ask him that. How many times he took that walk. I'm guessing it's up there. So obviously it's a good team bonding experience heading into your junior year, big target on you guys' back. I'm guessing you guys suffered a regular season loss, probably your first loss your junior year at some point, right?
Yep. Yeah, that was tough. That was to Portland. I don't remember how many games we were in. I want to say 5 or 6 games in. We lost to Portland on a buzzer beater 3, which was really tough. But Portland was a great team. And it was tough, but I knew that it wasn't the end. Like, we still have plenty of basketball left to play. And so it was really hard at first. And I think I put some of the blame on myself, like I didn't do enough or something like that. But we ended up ending the season. We lost a tough loss in the state championship game on a free throw. So, I mean, as you would have told me that we were going to make the state championship 5 games in, I would have told you you're crazy. So I think that we ended up a lot better than I expected.
Yeah, and it was what? How much time left on the clock? I mean. I know it was a heartbreak.
Yeah, 0.4, 1.4, something crazy like that.
That's a tough way to go. Who do you guys wind up losing to?
Edward Little.
Ugh, man, that is a tough way to go. But to get back to a third straight state championship game, I mean, that's literally as good as you can get in terms of a career so far. But I'm guessing that junior year as well. Some of those upperclassmen that were there before kind of took off, and then you became the primary focus in terms of attention that other teams were giving you. What was the biggest difference you noticed in terms of how teams were game planning against you heading into that junior year?
I definitely saw a lot more double teams. So, like, I'd catch the ball in the post, and then 2 people would automatically, like, just, like, guard me, and that was frustrating for me. And that was definitely an adjustment because I wasn't used to that. It'd be 2 to 3 people just coming and guarding me. But as the season went on, and as those freshmen that had to play big minutes that year matured, like, I could kick it out and they were able to confidently, like, start to hit shots. And I think that's when we started to turn around for sure.
Okay. So obviously junior year didn't end the way you wanted it to, but you have 1 more year to go. How did senior year go? Just curious for those that don't follow Gorm Hoops. I mean, obviously I'm guessing the disappointment losing probably in the worst way possible with 0.3 seconds up on the clock on a free throw heading into your senior year, goal's got to be to win a state championship. How did things play out for you your senior year?
We ended up losing to Scarborough in the first round of the playoffs, second round of the playoffs. So that was really tough. Obviously, I wanted to win as my senior year, but I had to like take a second, like I said earlier, to just reflect on all that I've done in my high school career, and just be grateful for that, because even though it didn't end up the way I wanted it to, I still had a great high school career and have 2 gold balls, and not a lot of people can say that.
Definitely. I can't say that. So, I mean, you got that at least right there. So we talked about just in terms of the teams you guys go up against night in, night out. You guys are playing a tough, tough schedule. You're also going up against probably the best talent in the state in terms of, you know, head-to-head matchups. Just curious, looking back on your 4 years at Gorm, who were some of the individual players that you remember just being like, wow, like this girl's really, really talented? Because there's no shortage of them. If there's one thing Maine is doing, it's producing talented Maine high school girls basketball players. Just curious, who were some of the ones that stand out in your mind looking back at your 4 years at Gorm that you went up against?
My own teammate, Emily Esposito, some of the things that she did with the ball is just crazy. There'd be times in games where I would just be like, wow, like she's really, really good. Anna DeWolf from Greeley, she's an insanely creative and talented player. Maddie Hassan from South Portland, she's a great player. Who else did I play? Same with like Eva Mazur and Sophie Glidden. Like Sophie plays at Stonehill, which is a really, really good D2 school. So there was a lot of talent that I faced in my 4 years for sure.
And I actually hit up Lon and I asked him for some stats and stuff on you, which will run like on the ticker here on the podcast. I won't go into too many of them, but definitely no shortage of honors, no shortage of records, which ultimately led to you being able to go to the next level and play college basketball. Right. So just curious, when did the whole recruitment process start? Like how early was it in your high school career where schools were starting to reach out to you and show interest?
I think I got my first, like, you get like letters, like questionnaire things in the mail from different schools. I think those started like towards the end of my 8th grade year. And I got my first scholarship offer in the winter of my freshman year of high school.
You remember who it was from?
University of New Hampshire.
Okay, so they were at you early. So obviously, if you're getting letters that early, I'm guessing that you were on the scene. I'm guessing AAU is probably where they saw you from beforehand, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And just curious, well, what AAU program did you run with during your years?
The Maine Firecrackers.
All right, and the Maine Firecrackers tend to have a ton of talent. So obviously you play with a bunch of talented girls there too. So I asked this question to a lot of the high school folks as well. Just curious. I mean, obviously AAU is a little bit different than high school ball in terms of structure and maybe, you know, defensive intensity along with some other things and stuff like that. But just curious, do you have a preference? Like, do you like, you know, if it's either a AAU weekend playing a ton of games or a Friday night in Gorm at the high school gym, packed house with your rival in, do you have a preference as to which one that, you know, you'd rather play in, or do you just love the hoop? It doesn't really matter.
I think you said it the best. Like, I love to play basketball. I love to play games, but I have some great memories in high school basketball, but I also have great memories playing AAU. So we traveled and we played against some great competition. And I made some memories from AAU too that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. But I think AAU was what got me to where I am now as far as the level I'm playing at, because it kind of gave me a good gauge on the level I can play at and where I stand with those types of players, because we played against some of the best players in the country. So it was, I think that was, that's a tough question, but yeah. I have great memories of both.
Yeah. So I asked you earlier on, like, who were some of like the players you went up against early on in your high school career that kind of stand out and like, oh, wow, like this person's good. On the AAU circuit, it's a whole nother level. So just curious, like, who were some of the players you went up against on the AAU level that kind of stand out? Like, wow, like, this person is really good.
Yeah, so sophomore year, we played against a team, and they had a girl who's playing at Florida State. a girl who's playing at Michigan, actually.
There we go.
I know. Played against her this winter. Then junior, we played against a team, and they were the second best AAU team in the country. So they have a girl who was at Tennessee, a girl who's playing at University of Kentucky, and a girl who's actually my teammate now at IU. So they were a very good team, and a lot of talent. So there were some tough games in there for sure.
Definitely. So you mentioned how the recruiting process kind of started early on, just going through high school. When did you start receiving more offers, more looks? And then, I mean, you mentioned New Hampshire being one of the first. Who were some of the other schools that came calling and were interested?
Right. So my freshman year, I got offered by UNH, and then a few weeks later, I got offered by Marist, and then Boston University. And that was kind of it for my freshman year. And then when my spring season, my AAU season and my sophomore year started, that's when I really started to get a lot more looks. So like Iowa State reached out to me. I had an offer from Iowa State, Boston College. I'm trying to think. It's been a minute. James Madison, Belmont, and then IU came going into my junior year. So I think that was like the peak of it. I can't name them all to you right now off the top of my head, but yeah.
At any point were you like, you know what? I don't need all this. I'm just gonna stay home. I'm gonna go to USM. I'm gonna sign my letter of intent. Did USM even come calling? I mean, were they even in the recruiting process?
I think at like around freshman year, I think that I kind of knew that I wanted to play Division One.
Yeah.
So that wasn't really like I that had just had that standard for myself. So I wasn't really an option at that point because I knew the level I wanted to play at. But yeah.
All right. So when it came down to start making your visits, you get what is it five visits you get to take five different schools or how does that work? Whenever you
I didn't actually. So you can't take official visits until after you take the SAT, which is like spring of your junior year.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to wait that long to visit the schools. So my dad and I just visited a lot of schools on our own.
Yep.
And we went all over the place looking at different schools. And then when I committed to IU, then I took my official there after that point.
So what was it about Indiana? I mean, you know, they're obviously you guys did well this year, made some history, you know, in terms of being ranked and stuff like that. But just curious as to what it was about the program that you just kind of were drawn to and
right. So honestly, I wasn't even like considering leaving New England. Like I was I was just certain that I wanted to go to a school in New England, like close to home. My family can always come watch. And then when Indiana offered me, my dad was like, well, we should go check it out. And I was not expecting to like it the way I did when I visited, because I got there and after my visit, I was like, wow, like, I think this is like where I want to go. And we took some more visits after that. But I think the whole time in the back of my head, I was like, I know this is where I want to go. And I think it was just the like relationships I built with the coaches and the like rich basketball culture that they have there is just it's unmatchable. And I knew they were building something special. Like you could like I knew that they had something, they were building something really great, and I wanted to be a part of it. So I think that's what it came down to.
And Assembly Hall doesn't hurt, right? I'm guessing that's got to be a great, great, great venue to play in right there. I mean, we talked about playing in the Cross Insurance Arena. Like that's a good time. But I mean, Assembly Hall is probably one of the best venues in the entire country.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's crazy. And especially like the fans for IU, for obviously men they sell out every single game, but we still get like a solid, like 6,000 or 7,000 fans a game, which is really good for women's college basketball. And when that place gets loud, like it's like all the fans are on top of you, and you just get into it with the crowd, and it's crazy. And especially with a floor with that much history on it as well, like it's hard to match, that's for sure.
Definitely. So we talked about the adjustment when you were making the jump to high school basketball as a freshman, and just, you know, adjusting to the speed of the game, physicality, stuff like that. Obviously, when you go to the highest level, there's going to be another adjustment. So curious, what was the biggest adjustment that you noticed from playing Maine high school basketball to playing Big Ten college basketball? What was the biggest adjustment for you?
I'd say the pace, for sure. Like, you're going up against, like, especially in the Big Ten, you're going up against, like, All-Americans every single night. Like, it's like every single night in the Big Ten is going to be a grind. Like, there's no easy games in the Big Ten. We had, like, I think 4 teams this year in the Big Ten that were within the AP top 25. So there were a lot of tough games. And I think just adjusting to the pace of that was probably the toughest part. And adjusting to the schedule and the grind of D1 college basketball itself, like, on and off the court, was definitely a big adjustment as well.
Yeah. So for those that may not be familiar with it, I'm guessing from the day you arrive on campus, it's regiment, it's schedule, it's off-season workouts, and it's regular season, and then it's still having to go to class. So for those that don't know what a D1 schedule's like, I mean, you play a ton of games, but there's a lot more to it. Just, you know, let the people know what that's like playing at that level.
Yeah, so like a typical day for me this year would be get up and I'd go to my classes. I usually would have 3 classes during the day. They'd get done around, I'd say 2, and then I'd head over to Cook Hall, our practice facility, and I would get some extra shots up with our graduate assistants before practice, and then you go to the training room if you need any recovery or treatment before practice, and then we watch film either for our next game or our previous game, because you play every, like, 2 or 3 days, so there's always a new scout for you to be looking at, and then practice for around, I'd say, 3 hours, and then at that point, it's like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and then I have to head over to the academic center where I have to get study hall hours in. And I usually stay over there for like an hour, depending on how many hours I need, and then go home and go to bed and wake up and do it all again the next day.
All over again, right? That's crazy. So obviously it's a lot of work, but there's a lot of cool things that come along with that. So, I mean, playing Big Ten basketball and just that schedule, like you said, you're going up against all Americans, you know, game in and game out. But also guessing that non-conference schedule, you get a chance to travel, maybe playing some tournaments and play at some schools as well. Just curious, what were some of the highlights of your schedule looking back on this freshman year that really stand out? Were there any games or players you went up against that just you'll remember 10, 15 years from now?
Yeah, so we went to the Virgin Islands for a Thanksgiving tournament, and we played South Carolina, and we played Baylor, and then we played Washington State, and we beat South Carolina. That was the most memorable game of the season for sure. I mean, they were the number 5 team in the country at the time, but now they're the number 1 team in the country. And we were their only loss this season. So that was just like something I'll never forget. And then we played Baylor, who was the reigning national champion. We ended up losing that game, I think, by 12 or 14. But it was like the next day right after playing South Carolina. So it was a quick turnaround. So it was tough. And then we ended up beating Washington State. But just that alone, that was like pretty early on in the season. So that was like, you were really just like, you weren't getting your feet wet. You were just diving right in. So I think that was really memorable for sure.
And then also, I mean, you guys, I don't know if you guys made history, but I mean, obviously you guys had a great year. So what were some of the achievements or milestones that IU made this year, which happened to be your freshman year? Maybe you probably had a big part of that. So what are some of the milestones?
We reached the number 12 team. We were the number 12 team in the country in one of the weeks in the AP top 25. And that's the highest we've ever been ranked. We went the whole season without without being unranked. So we were ranked at somewhere in the top 25 the whole season. That was a record. I think we got the most wins in a regular season. So I think it was like 24 or 25 or something like that. And then we ended and started the season ranked, which was another record. So there are a lot of records that were broken this year for sure.
And I believe that you set a record as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. I got the school record for single season field goal percentage. I don't remember the exact percentage. It was 60 something. But yeah, I had no idea. But that was a really cool achievement for me, especially because just being a freshman, and it gives me more to strive for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, just curious. I mean, obviously the season got cut short, which we talked about a little bit off the top. But you got three more years to go, and the Big Ten is a grind. Obviously, there's a ton of great schools and programs in that conference. Having only been there a year, I'm curious if you're already looking forward ahead to rivalry games. Is there a certain school, whether it's their gym or just the players there, is there a particular school that you're looking forward to just going up against for the next 3 years? Like, all right, that's I can't wait till we play these guys.
Definitely, it's just for any sport. At IU, whenever you play Purdue, it's a huge rivalry because it's two Indiana schools in the Big Ten. So whenever you either go there or they play here, it always feels a little sweeter when you beat Purdue. So I would say that and I'd say Maryland and Ohio State are always tough games and games you want to win because they're typically a really strong team for sure.
Yeah, so we mentioned that season got cut short. So you mentioned being, just coming out the practice floor and finding out that things were done, right? I mean, and had you guys even reached conference tournament play, or were you guys getting ready for the actual NCAA tournament? Where were you guys at that point?
Yeah, so we had just gotten back. So we had the Big Ten tournament the weekend before. And we lost in the second round against Maryland. And then so that was on Sunday. And then we had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off because we had that big break and our bodies needed a rest. And then that Thursday or Friday, we were getting ready to practice. And then we were all in the locker room. We heard the news. And yeah, it was pretty heartbreaking, especially for our senior. We had one senior on the team who was just like obviously heartbroken. We were all heartbroken for her that she didn't get the chance to play in the tournament for her last year of college basketball. But I mean, it was tough. It was tough, especially because you've worked so hard all season and it just gets taken away from you like that.
So obviously, I mean, you have to feel good about heading into next year, you know, only losing, you know, one senior and doing the things you guys did this year, but it had to have hurt to miss out on the opportunity to make probably a run in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's probably the dream of everybody, especially coming from Maine and being put in that position to actually play in the NCAA tournament. I'm guessing that's hurt a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in the recruiting process, one of the things that I wanted when I was looking at a school is I wanted to play in the tournament every year, and I wanted to go to school where that was like the expectation at that school. And so it was always been my dream to play in the NCAA tournament and March Madness. And when I was this close to getting the chance to do that, all of this happened, and I'm just lucky enough to still have three more shots at it. So I guess that's one takeaway from it for sure.
All right, so looking back on your freshman year, what's the one thing that kind of sticks out in your mind, maybe the biggest surprise or just the thing you're most proud of? I mean, obviously, you're playing at the highest level and you're playing really, really well. What's the biggest takeaway you have in terms of maybe what you're most proud of, or just maybe the thing that kind of sticks out in your mind looking back at your freshman year?
I think just how far I've come from the beginning. Like, I had to go for summer sessions in June. Literally 2 days after I graduated high school. So just from like that point to where I am now, I think I've grown so much, like as a person and as a player. I think that's something I can definitely say that I'm proud of. And also just like proving to myself that I can play at a level like that, because obviously there's always some like ounce of fear inside of you that you're like, uh-oh, like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. You have your days of doubt. And I think once games started, I was able to like prove to myself that I'm able to play at that level. And that was something that was really special for me.
Definitely. So you talked about just how busy your schedule is during the school year in terms of going to class, practices, travel, stuff like that. If things get back to normal, actually, it's a two-part question. So what are you doing right now to, I don't even know, you guys must be at least done academically pretty soon, if not done already. What are you doing right now to kind of stay in shape to get better? Obviously, there's challenges that come along with that. And then once things get back to normal, what's your summer going to look like in terms of getting ready for your sophomore year?
So right now, we have like team workouts on Zoom 3 days a week. So our trainer sends us workouts that we can do. It's like no to minimal equipment needed. And so we do those 3 days a week. And then I lift on my own 3 days a week, and staying in shape by run outside as much as the weather permits, and I get on the exercise bike and do whatever I can just to try to stay in shape. Obviously, it's really hard right now, but coming up for my sophomore year, I think I want to improve on extending my range a little bit. Like outside of like 15 feet, just getting more consistent and comfortable taking that shot if needed, because I love playing back to the basket, but I want to still be able to shoot outside and do that, and also become a better defender as well. That was a huge adjustment, especially because I'm a little undersized for my position. So I want to become a better defender and, you know, just get in top prime shape so I can play for like sustained periods of time. And yeah, I'd say those three things mostly.
Absolutely. And I hear you on the challenges of trying to stay in shape right now. I have one great week where I'm on it. The next week, I'm like, I'm not feeling it this week. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, it's very hard to that motivation piece, especially when you don't have your teammates around to like say, hey, let's go work out, or it's not on a schedule. It feels like optional almost, but I've been trying to stay consistent with it because I know that I can't be going back to school not in shape or not like still like strong. I don't want to lose everything that I've gained these past months. So I think that's kind of the piece that's motivating me.
Absolutely. So before we get up out of here, we're going to do the fun stuff. This is the random part of the podcast where I'm just, whatever I can think of right now is what I'm going to ask and just see what we can come up with. So real quick, Big Ten schedule. What was your favorite opposing gym to play in? It could just be the look and feel of the court. It could be just the hostile environment. If you want to say Michigan right now, go for it. I'm cool with that. But just curious, what was the school? What's the Big Ten school that you just liked playing at this year?
I think I liked Minnesota's court, the barn. That was pretty cool. The court was like really raised up. So like you could literally just fall off the end of it, but it was like, it literally looked like a barn on the inside. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'd say Minnesota.
How about for Maine high school basketball? What was your favorite opposing gym to go in and play? It could be because of the fans, you just like to shut them up, or it could just be the look and feel of the gym. What's the one gym you like to go into and get a W at?
I'm trying to think. Probably Bonnie Eagle. They were always kind of a rival school, and it's a small gym, so it gets loud, but I like playing there. It was always good to get a win against Bonnie Eagle.
All right. So at Gorham, three of your coaches are Fort Kent alums who are near and dear to me. Mm-hmm. So just curious, if Lon, Neely, and Aaron were to play a one-on-one tournament, which one of those three coaches would come out victorious?
I think that Coach Nelson would get mad if I didn't say her, but I'd have to say Coach Berthume. I've seen him stroke it a couple of times, and he has a nice shot when he gets heated up. But maybe Miss Nelson would give him the clamps. But I think that Coach Berthume would win. I don't know about Coach Willette.
Can Coach Willette get some really love? Because I'm good. Coach Willette's probably the big girl coach. I'm guessing. He probably worked on you down on the block. We got to give Aaron some love.
I don't think I've seen him play as much as I've seen Coach Nelson and Coach Berthium play, but
we'll give Aaron some love anyway. Shout out to Aaron. All right. What's the worst road trip you guys used to take in high school? It could just be the distance. It could just be just not a very fun school to go play at. What's the worst road trip you guys have to take?
We only traveled there once, but I would say Oxford Hills. That was like an hour bus ride. And it wasn't like, because whenever we went to Bangor, we took like a nicer bus, like a coach bus. So whenever we went to Oxford Hills, it wasn't far enough to take one of those. So I'd say that.
Who was the one player in high school that you loved to go head to head against? Who's the one person that just brought the best out on you, or the player that when you went up against them brought the best out on you just because you were going to bring it against them?
Anna DeWolf, I'd say. Because she's one of my closest friends, so it's always good to compete against her. And it's almost good because we're two different positions, so luckily I never had to guard her. But I'd say her because I think we always wanted to win against each other, but at the end of the day, like, we're still close friends, so.
Okay. For Gorm road trips, where do the cool kids sit on the bus? Do the cool kids sit in the front, the middle, or the back of the bus?
The back.
What goes on in the back of the bus? Is there a reason why it's the back of the bus?
I think it's because we're the most loud in the back of the bus. So it's like there have been times where Coach Burstein, I think, have had to tell us to turn down the music or stop singing and sit down, don't stand up. So I'd say the back of the bus is where most of the action happened.
Okay. Speaking of music right now, what's your go-to stuff on your workout playlist right now? What are maybe like three artists or three songs that are a must on the workout playlist right now, which is crucial as ever right now, just with the struggles we're trying to work out for
me. Right. I'd say DaBaby. I think he's dropped some good music and it's catchy, so mm-hmm. It's a good one to work out to. I'm trying to think of what we listen to as a team. We listen to some Roddy Ricch. That's another good one. And some Lecrae, a little bit of Christian rap in there too.
Okay, good little mixture right there. All right, so right now, obviously we can't because of things going on with the coronavirus, but if you could walk into an open gym right now when you're bringing four girls with you, who are the four girls that you're bringing with you to just run the court at an open gym anywhere in Maine right now?
So main players?
It can, yeah, just either, you know, players that you played against in high school, just anyone from Maine. If you can bring four players from Maine with you,
just girls or girls and boys?
Let's go girls. If you got guys, we can do guys afterwards. But I want to know which girls you're bringing with you.
I'm bringing Emily Esposito, Anna DeWolf, Faith Bluffin. So that's three. One more. You know, I'm going to go with Alex Hart. From Thornton Academy. She was a great point guard, great all around player. I'm gonna say her.
And you feel good about that choice right there. I mean, you guys are gonna run in there and just run the court.
Yep, that's exactly what we're gonna do.
You mentioned the boys. If you had to pick four boys to go bring, who are four guys you're gonna bring with you?
I'm gonna bring Nick Fiorillo, Matt Fleming, Will Maywin, and Logan Bagshaw.
It's not a bad five right there. I'll take that.
I think those are my four.
All right. What are we doing to kill the time right now? What's your go-to kill time quarantine routine? Is it a TV show? Is it a movie? What's the one thing you'd recommend to the folks right now? Maybe a book. I don't know. People still read.
I've been playing a lot of Fortnite lately, actually. Okay. I've been so bored. I've just been there's PS4 and playing because I got nothing better to do sometimes. So yeah, I'd say that I've gotten pretty good. I went from terrible to decent, so I'll take that. But yeah, I mean, it kills time, that's for sure.
Progress right there. All right, so obviously you just finished up your freshman year at IU. If you could pick one school that you guys can go play before you graduate, which program do you want to play against? Either at their place, it could be in a neutral court, which team do you want to get a chance to play against before you graduate?
Well, it's kind of like ideally I'd like to go somewhere close to home so people from at home can come watch me play. So whether that's like UMaine or UNH or someplace close like that, I think that would be really cool if I was able to do that. And people who don't get the chance to come watch me play at school can come watch me play there. I think that'd be really cool to do.
That would be cool. You should have worked that out with the coaches. Like, hey, if I sign here, you got to get me back home for at least one game. Let's make that happen.
I think they try to do that. I think get someone that's far away from home, pretty as close to home as they can, so people can come see them. So hopefully that'll work out at some point.
Is Maine or UNH on the schedule for next year already, or is it going to have to wait?
I don't know the schedule for next year. I think that everyone's trying to figure out what's going on, and they don't usually come out till the end of the summer. So I don't know if it'll be next year, but hopefully within the next 3 years, I'll get close to home, as close to home as I can.
My last question, it's a two-parter. So best late-night food spot out there in Bloomington and best late-night food spot in Gorm?
I'll start with Bloomington. I'd say to be honest, Chick-fil-A, because there's like none around here and I love Chick-fil-A, so I go there a ton at school. That's one of my favorites. And in Gorm, we don't got a ton of options. I'd say Gorm House Pizza is always a solid choice. I'll go with that. Gorm House Pizza.
Good choice right there. And I will vouch for Chick-fil-A. I think Bangor's got the only Chick-fil-A in the state. And I would say the quarantine is not slowing down Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is packed every day. Every time I drive by, there was a line just out the door. The drive-thru is crazy.
Yeah, I love Chick-fil-A, and it really stinks that there's none in Southern Maine, which shocks me. But
Great choices to all those questions right there. So before we get up out of here, I always give my guests a chance to just say whatever they want before we get up out of here. You can plug something. You can clear the air on something. You can break news. If you want to break news, I'm all about that. I'm big time. But the floor is yours, so say whatever you want before we get up out of here.
I guess if there is any little boy or girl watching this that doesn't know if they're capable to play at the next level, whatever the circumstance may be, I just say keep working, and anything is really achievable if you put your mind to it. I mean, I was just this big, goofy kid in the third and fourth grade, and I kept working, and I think there are some people who didn't think it would be possible for me to be doing what I'm doing. And I think that it's always possible, and just never give up on it. If it's truly your passion and your dream, just don't let anyone tell you different. I'd say that's what I want to say.
Positive message right there. I like that. Speaking to the youth. So thank you to Mackenzie Holmes for coming through on Big Time, the podcast, Big Time Hoops podcast. I'm sorry. This has been huge. It's a great story. And it's just basically what you're saying is it's inspirational. Just, just because you're from Maine, don't limit yourself. Opportunities are endless if you put the work in. So thank you for coming through on this. I really, really appreciate it. Yeah. And hopefully things get back to normal and we can check you out on the Big Ten Network. I got the Big Ten Network on my TV package here. So I get Big Ten Hoops all the time. So hopefully we can check you out. But thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And make sure to check out all previous episodes on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Instagram, you name it. We got them out there everywhere. So thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week with another big-time episode of Big Time Hoops. Thank you.